Well, I realise that I'm a stranger to most of you. So your clapping me when I got up was very reserved. I understand that. I hope afterwards that your clapping may be different. Not that I'm looking for praise, but because of the word that I've put, God's put in my heart to share with you. But just before I share that, I want to share an impression I had while we were worshipping. And a strange impression, but I do believe it's either for you as a church or perhaps some of you as individuals. And in this impression, I saw somebody walking a dog. You probably think I'm quite loopy here, but someone was walking a dog to the local park. The dog was on a lead. And when they got to the park, they bent down to release what they thought was a dog. And as they did so, it looked down, and the dog was not a dog, but a lamb. And they thought, I can't let the lamb off the lead, because all the other dog walkers in the park, their dogs are going to go after the lamb. So everything in them wanted to hold on to keeping the lamb on the lead. And then suddenly in the... Oh, I do take a risk when I'm here, because you'll probably think I'm loopy. But suddenly the lamb turned round to the person and said, release me. Let me go. Trust me. And I thought, I can't do that. Trust me. But Lord, I can't do that. I can't. Trust me. So they bent down. They released what they thought was a dog in the lead, the lamb, thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be devastation. Goodness knows what's going to happen. But the lamb turned into a lion. And the lion grew. And he only had to roar once. And it kept all the other dogs at bay. And I looked at this and I thought, there was, in the picture, it was as if I was holding the lead. I'm going, what am I going to do now? And the lion turned round and spoke and said, if you want to see more of me move and work in your life, I am a lamb to you. I am your friend, your advocate, your saviour. I am a lamb to you. But if you want to see me move and work in mission, then you need to release me and let me become a lion. Because you need to follow me. Up to now, I've been following you. And I've been restricted by you putting me on a lead. And that lead might be a lead of theology. It might be a lead of emotions, because if you can keep everything tight to yourself, you'll feel safe. It can be a lead that represents a number of things, but only you know what that is. So if you feel God is speaking to you through this, then he will identify what that lead is that you need to let go of. Because there is, for all the songs we've sung, and they're great, and it's comforting to us, but if we want to see God move and work through us, we've got to learn to let him go off the lead we put him on to try and keep safe and secure and comfortable and nice. Okay? So it's scary, but if it's the Lord, then there is hope, and it'll open the door to miraculous to work. Okay? So I'll kick off with that. So either now you want to listen to what I'm going to say, or you'll think, that's it, yeah, I'm off. I want to share with you, this is on the theme of prayer, by the way. I asked Nick what to do in the journey. He said, well, look, speak something on prayer, I trust you. Just bring a word and prayer to encourage the folks. So that's what I'm doing. But the one that's on my heart to bring to you is from, it's the story of Bartimaeus. Do any of you, some of you know that? Okay. I'm assuming you've all read your Bibles, of course. Yeah. Okay. We'll find out, won't we? There are many prayers in the Bible. There's about 80 of them, if you were to count them. Whether that's significant or not, I don't know, but I just know there's about 80 prayers in the Bible, and they fall into two categories. The simple, ordinary, disciplined prayers, like Our Father, who art in heaven. But also the radical, crying out, desperate prayers. And it's those I particularly want to talk about. Because if we limit God to the simple, ordinary, disciplined prayers, we're not going to see much happen. We'll see certain things happen. Ordinary prayers will restrain evil, keep it at bay. Ordinary prayers will tame wild habits, but they tend to maintain the status quo and not cause the walls of Jericho to fall down. Such prayers will enable your light to shine, but not so shine that men may see and know what is going on. So there is a place for ordinary, disciplined prayers, but don't restrict your life to them, because you're putting God on the lead if that's all you do. Radical prayers, on the other hand, they're the ones that stretch you, but they will move God to answer quite quickly. They'll get God's attention every time, every time. And they'll open the door of heaven for the miraculous. These are radical prayers. Hagar, you know the story of Hagar. You've read your Bibles? When she cried out, God answered her straight away. Hannah, who was barren, he gave her a child. Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, when faced with all sorts of things. Elijah, Solomon, all these were people, men and women of God, in whom they reached a point where the ordinary prayers were not enough to see God move and work. Okay? They weren't, they're okay, don't get me wrong. They're important. It's an important basic discipline of our lives. But if we want to see God move and work, it has to be the next level. All right? So we've got to be thinking, if I'm hearing the Lord, God wants to encourage you to go beyond the familiar of what you already know. This is where he will become the lion. Ooh, I can see your faces. So, let's look at the story of Bartimaeus in that context. You don't have an OHP, so I'll read out the story to you. There's two altogether I'm going to read. I'm going to read this one first. It's for those of you who want to follow, it's Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And I'm going to draw out a few things from this passage. Right. Mark 10, 46. Here we go. Now, they came to Jericho, that's Jesus and the disciples. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. Shut up, man. I mean, where's your etiquette? Be quiet. And what did he do? It says, he cried out all the more. Talk about going against the grain. Son of David, have mercy on me. And guess what? The next verse. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. He got Jesus' attention. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, Jesus is calling you. They were just shutting him up about 2 minutes ago, and now they're saying, oh, come on, come on. Then they called the blind man and said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garments, he arose and came to Jesus. That is significant, because as a blind person, you would wear the beggar's coat right from birth, although it gets bigger as you get older, to identify yourself as being someone who needs arms. I don't mean physical arms. I mean arms, A-L-M-S, in need of financial help or money or food because they can't work. All right? So he threw off his clothes. This is before Jesus actually answered him. His confidence in God, his faith in Jesus was such that he let go of all the restrictions. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how brash and bold we can be when we know God is present. Because we make all sorts of promises, don't we, when we feel his presence. But we're very reserved and quiet when we're not too sure. Anyway, so Bartimaeus comes, throws aside his garments, comes to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, what would you want me to do for you? I do think that's very important. It's one of the few times Jesus says that. Because he got Jesus' attention. And now Jesus made himself available to listen to what it is on your heart that you want to tell him. What do you want to say, Bartimaeus? What is it on your heart that you really want to say? I noticed you've got a feud down here. But my question to you is, are they ordinary prayers? Some of them may be, but are they radical? How desperate are we to see God move and work? The blind man said to Jesus, Rabboni, I would love to receive my sight. Well, he wasn't just asking for physical sight. That meant if he'd got his sight back, he could now work. He could now do things he couldn't do before. And the next verse says, then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Immediately. There are only three people Jesus ever said that to. Go, your faith has made you well. And if you've read your Bibles, you know who they are. Test is coming. Anyone know, perchance? It was the woman with the blood, the issue of blood, and there was the one of the lepers that came back and risked everything to come back and thank Jesus before he got the okay from the priest. But thank you. That's another story, by the way, for another day. So I do believe I'm bringing this because I think God wants to say to you all, encourage you all, that he wants to raise your faith levels, to encourage you to pray more dangerous, dare I say, prayers, to find a way of letting the lion out that's in you. The Spirit of God, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God is in you. And all I'm saying here today is don't tame him. Don't keep him on the lead. I tell you, the Western Church keeps God on the lead a heck of a lot. The miraculous and when God moves and works is far more in the third world countries where people are desperate because they don't have all the other facilities that we've learned to become familiar with and rely on. So there's a need for our faith levels to shift from the ordinary, but don't lose them, because they do have merit, to the extraordinary. So that might mean some of you here, in order to see God answer some of the prayers, whether it's now or in time, you find yourself crying out to God. I know I have, and I'm going to share one or two instances. So my son, on December the 18th last year, my eldest son, he'd had an illness for 20 years prior to that. And just to set the scene, I think Edwin, you know this, but my that caused my wife and I initially to pray 20 years ago, to say, there were nice prayers, God, please heal our son, because nobody likes to see their kids suffer. We didn't think about consulting God and what he may want to say or do. We just want him to heal our son, as any normal parent would. And we shared with a lot of people, and we were at a prayer meeting, and the Lord spoke and said, I've heard your prayers. But I want you to know that this illness is not unto death, and I will heal your, and I will heal the heart of your son. And I thought, I knew it was the Lord, but that wasn't quite the answer I was expecting. I said, there's nothing wrong with his heart, Lord. He's got severe ulcerative colitis, and he could die from these operations. He had 9 operations in all. And twice the consultants told us, prepare for the worst. But we knew, because of what God had said, we didn't have to. Because God said, Lord, you said this isn't unto death. And we trusted him, and he brought him through. But this, well, what about his heart? It was always this unanswered thing for 20 years. My wife and I thought, well, thank you, Lord. You came through the operations. He still has to work with stuff. But for the last 20 years, he's still struggles in one way, shape, or form. So fast forward now to December last year. Out of the blue, he needed to have his thyroid removed. It had blown up so big. And he feared the operations because the time in hospital wasn't nice, wasn't good. And he asked us to pray. And we said, son, we want you to pray too. Don't just rely on our prayers. Please pray. So he set about doing that. When the day came, I remember saying, God, I cried. I said, God, I haven't got the faith that I had back then. I don't know what you plan to do. I don't know where, what to say. And I just cried. And I said, Lord, you answered in a strange way last time, but you brought him through. So here we are now. And Lord, if you're relying on my faith, I haven't got it. And suddenly the Lord spoke to me, because I was desperate. And he spoke to me, and he said, I know you have little faith, but that's okay, because I'm going to honor his faith this time. I thought, oh, and the whole thing just lifted off me, because I thought, I've been carrying him for 20 years, because he's been relying on our faith for that length of time. So I thought, I must share with him when he comes out of hospital. He comes out of hospital, and I said, son, I'd love to share with you what the Lord said to me. He said, I'd love to share with you what God said to me. And I said, well, I wasn't expecting that. I said, what do you mean? I said, you go first. He said, well, the Lord spoke to me and said he was going to honor my faith this time, and I didn't need to rely on yours. And straight away, the Lord said to me, I've healed his heart now. And I thought, flipping heck. Isn't God amazing? But it's come out of me being absolutely honest and feeling as though I hadn't got any faith. But I just cried out to the Lord in my desperation, and he answered. One prayer took 20 years, the other one was straight away. So you never know. Our confidence is in him to do what he sees best, not to do the things we want him to do. You understand the difference? Okay. And all of this just by looking at the story of Bartimaeus. I want to... How are we doing for time? Are we okay?
You're all right.
Yeah, you're all right? Yeah. All right, I'm going to share another little story. This is about the woman that had the issue of blood. And it's Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Funny, it's difficult to find the scripture readings in someone else's Bible, but you can always turn to it in your own. So bear with. Now, this is Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said to herself, this is, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Totally the opposite to Bartimaeus. He was absolutely loud and given it of the welly, I call it, full welly. And people told him to shut up, so he cried all the more. But here is someone who was just as desperate, but was quiet. So don't think you've got to actually cry. It's the desperation of your heart inside. She was desperate after many years where the doctors, she'd spent all the money, she'd got nothing, she was no better off, she was awful. All she knew was she'd heard something about Jesus, just like Bartimaeus, enough for her to say, I've got to get to him, I've got to go to him, I need to. Bartimaeus did it and God surprised him. Now it's her turn. And it says, immediately that she touched him, the fountain of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And notice again, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? It's amazing how there must have been hundreds of people touching Jesus. But her, he singled out. God knows. Don't ever think that your voice will never be heard. God can hear you in a crowd, whether you're quiet as she was, or as you might be, as loud as Bartimaeus. The common denominator for both of them was that they were serious, they were intentional, they were desperate. They'd spent everything or done everything they could, and then they turned to Jesus. Isn't it interesting, us in the Western culture, how we try and manage until we get desperate? We try and do our best, anything, because the one thing we hate is getting desperate, because we don't realize how good our God is when we do get desperate. And if you want to see God move and work in your lives, folks, expect to get desperate. Okay? It doesn't come on the lead. Remember what I said? It comes when you let go of the restraints and the fears and everything else and say, Jesus, I need you. I don't care what anyone else thinks anymore. God has to bring us to a place where we're no longer ashamed of what people may think. And we're willing to either cry out on the one hand or quietly on the other. Either way, you'll get Jesus' attention. And at both times, Jesus stood still. Isn't that interesting? We think God will only hear us if we shout at the top of our voices. No. So be real. Be honest. You might want to write some more there or some different ones or change it. But the important thing is she did. And just to finish the story. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. I have got to talk on this. If I get invited again, I would love to do this talk to show you a bit more detail and the significance of all of this. But for now, I won't have time to do that. So she'd, and Jesus said to her, daughter, it's the only time he calls someone a daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. Daughter, Jesus knew that the condition, I will say this much, in the Jewish culture, if you got an issue of blood, you were considered unclean, sexually, immorally, you couldn't... You were barred from the temple. It was horrendous, all right? And you had to keep quiet because if people knew, they would cast you out. So she had to keep quiet, okay? Because men who don't hear God would want to get you away from his presence. Think about that. Because we're in the West, we like to judge people first by outward appearance, by what we hear, by what we see. But God looks at the heart. And she, and he knew that daughter, she need, her value had been restored in who she was. You're important to me, daughter. Isn't it? And she must have felt so unclean and ashamed. But he, just with those words, daughter, your face made you well. She was not one of the many people Jesus reached out to, and you'll read this as you read the Gospels, or those people that disciples and others brought to Jesus. This was somebody like Bartimaeus who came of their own accord, who were desperate. They'd tried everything else. Okay, I just wonder if there's any here among us today who are in that place, who identify with Bartimaeus on one hand or the lady on the other, and thinking, Lord, I need you. I need you to speak to the depths of my heart somewhere. Change me. Do something. Because I can't carry on living with this. The weight's too heavy, or the burden of my sin's too heavy. But it's coming as you are and allowing him to meet with you. Not necessarily telling him what you want him to do, unless he asks you. Because he did with Bartimaeus. But he didn't with her. So he knows your heart. So folks, be encouraged. And for those of you who might think I'm a bit weird saying about crying out, just remember in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, it says, Jesus was heard for his loud cries and tears by him who was able to save him from death. Although in the end, he had to face it, or chose to. So just be aware that God does this. And finally, there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It's a famous, does anyone know it? I'm going to see if I can learn it off by heart myself now. It said, the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro throughout the whole of the earth in order to show himself strong towards those whose hearts are desperate for him. Some versions say committed towards him. Well, if you're committed, that's 100%. If you're in the West, it's 20% or 30% perhaps 40%. So just be aware the Lord is watching over us, longing for us, and he's with us on the lead. But if he wants and you want him to move and work, you're going to have to let go of whatever lead that is, whether it's a lead of fear or guilt or shame. You need to let go of that lead in order for him to start working through you. Okay? That's the important thing. That's the word I have for you this morning. So I hope that's encouraged you, probably challenged you, but to help you realize there is more. But it comes at a cost. It's not cheap. There is more. But it is exciting because none of us know exactly how God's going to move and work. So I've given you an example in my own life too, recently. So who knows how God can move and work. And I know all of you here, you're obviously here because you've met with him and tasted and know that God is good. But that can grow. Because God's heart, yes, I know we're all waiting for him to come and collect us. But until then, like all the other saints for the last 2,000 years, we're all here, we have a mission. And God wants us to share the light you have, the power that he's given you. So don't limit him to being on a lead, because only that much will go. But if you're willing to let go and release the lead, then God will do so much more. Okay? So the Lord bless you.